Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Round two of the Six Nations coming up, and Gregor Townsend has just named his 23 as Scotland travel to Wales, looking to go 2-from-2 and to send the hype train into sort of hyper speed as we look towards our first Grand Slam since 1990. Matt, are you feeling the hype?
I am feeling the hype, I think. Although it does seem to be a few people asking whether Scotland can win the Grand Slam at this early stage, and I do think it is far too early. See what happens at the end of Saturday, and we can maybe start having that conversation, but I think we need to put that on ice a little bit.
I've been having that conversation since day one. That's why I put my money where my mouth is. £20.50-1 Scotland to win the Grand Slam.
Yeah, Matt, why do you hate Scottish rugby?
Yeah, it's a good question. I clearly do. I've got to sort that out myself.
You absolutely do. Well, it's David, Matt and Alan, as you have already heard, here to break down that 23 snap reaction. Team was named just about an hour ago. We've already had our first take on Twitter. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. You can vote on your feelings on the team on our Instagram. That's Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And when this is all said and done on Monday morning, Matt will be pulling together win, lose, or draw analysis of the game for the newsletter on Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. So lots of quality content for you guys to get in and stick with us throughout the whole Six Nations. Speaking of sticking with us through the Six Nations, just a quick word for our partners over at Fanbase, who are the perfect partner for any rugby clubs looking to go digital. So in a matter of hours, through Fanbase, you can launch a mobile app for your supporters containing news, videos, and articles. You can also do all of your ticket sales for lunches, events, and match days all in one simple place. Get yourself onto fanbaseclub.com to set up a demo or slide into those DMs on Twitter at @fanbase_club. Right, straight into the meat and drink of the podcast. Gregor Townsend has done a little bit of a tombola after this Calcutta Cup win. He has named a slightly changed side for the trip down to Wales. Complete change in the front row. Pierre Schoeman, Stuart McInally and WP Nell up front. In the second row, Johnny Gray and Grant Gilchrist unchanged. Sam Skinner comes in at 6 for the injured Jamie Ritchie, joining Hamish Watson and Matt Fagerson. The only change in the back line is at 12. Sione Tuipulotu coming in for Sam Johnson. And then lots of good stuff to get into on the bench as well. But Alan, starting with that front row, I mean, we sort of labeled them the Scottish bomb squads for their performance at 50 minutes onwards against England. You know, but were you expecting that full wholesale change of the front row? What do you think it tells us, if anything, about, you know, Scotland's strategy for the weekend?
If I'm honest, I wasn't expecting it at all. I thought he could do something relatively similar where, you know, in that England match, he brought on the full front row probably a little bit earlier than he has historically. And I guess this is me not knowing enough about how the scrum works, but I don't know how important sort of combinations are when you get into to scrum time. But I think kind of the main takeaway is it doesn't feel, even though you've got two Lions props and Turner, who's one of the best hookers in world rugby, it doesn't actually feel like that much of a drop in quality bringing on those three, and actually potentially at scrum time it gives you a slightly sort of stronger option. Because actually the one thing that Wales did have against Ireland is a fairly strong set piece.
It wasn't something that Tooney decided to mention in any of the questions that were put to him by the hard-hitting journalists at the SRU, which is a bit of a funny one.
I mean, he in that video, he talked about the other changes in quite a lot of depth. So maybe it's an editing issue. They missed that bit of the video. I don't know. Or maybe he's got a bit of a plan. He's seen something in that Ireland game, in the Welsh scrum, as you mentioned, Alan. But I think it is interesting that, you know, if maybe 3 or 4 years ago Townsend had completely changed a winning front row with two Lions in it, you'd be thinking he's fully lost the plot and he's rolled out the Tooney Tombola, you know, in a sort of an act of absolute madness. But I agree, I don't think that we lose that much. And I think actually, maybe come on to it, but being able to bring on that front row from the bench, and sort of that front five, really, actually, I think we've got the edge over Wales in that area. And, you know, the likes seeing Turner, Sutherland and Ferguson come on at 50, 60 minutes is, you know, no opposition is really going to want to see that, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving into the second row, not huge amounts to talk about. Obviously, Gray and Gilchrist keeping their spots. Worth noting in the general Scottish pecking order, Scott Cummings sent back to Glasgow for their big game against Munster. But Gilchrist will be leading out the team, 50th cap. He gets a special shout-out for Tooney. It is that alternate Scottish universe, Alan, where Grant Gilchrist is Scotland captain under Vern Cotter. It's the sort of Scottish rugby multiverse that could have seen a completely different set of circumstances.
I know. I actually completely forgot that he had been captain until you just mentioned it. But I think, what was that, back sort of 2016? And I think, you know, ultimately, I think from the way they sort of chat about him in the camp, it does sound like he does act as a bit of a leader within that group, and especially within that forward camp. And I think me, probably potentially more than anyone on this pod, has potentially been a little bit too dismissive of him, especially in sort of the last year. I kind of thought his time had sort of come and it was going to be a sort of Johnny Gray, Cummings, Skinner, sort of a mix of those three for the next sort of few years at least. But yeah, clearly been really good for Edinburgh this year. Absolute monster against England. And yeah, 50 caps, pretty unbelievable. It doesn't feel like Grant Gilchrist has played 50 games for Scotland.
Well, no, it really doesn't.
He's come and gone a bit from, as you said, a point where it seemed like he was being positioned to become captain, but then being unseated by, you know, over time, Johnny Gray, even Richie Gray when he was fit, and Scott Cummings now. And even for a while, you know, we had Toulis was one of our sort of banking starters at second row.
Yeah, well, all the best to Grant, and he'll be leading the team out. That's a pretty special moment for him. Moving on into the back row, this has been a matter of internal dispute at the Thistle. Who was going to replace injured Jamie Ritchie? Sam Skinner has been given the nod, and here's what Gregor Townsend had to say on why he's brought Skinner in.
In terms of Sam, Sam's played in the back row for us and his club. He's a really experienced set piece forward that brings a skill set that means he can go between second row and back row. He's got a calming presence about him. And for us over the last season, he's played really well. The game over in Paris was a highlight, but also Australia. And I felt he made a big impact off the bench at the weekend.
So, lads, Tooney there talking about sort of Skinner's versatility. But, you know, he had a lot of options. He had Bradbury that he could perhaps bring in. You know, there was other options that he could have gone for. Do you think Skinner is the best option, Matt?
Yeah, I said last week that I think it's the most like-for-like replacement for Richie, who I think sadly is going to be out for the rest of the tournament, which is a blow because it would have been good to see him come back into the mix. But I think he gives you that line-out option that Richie did. I think he's very good around the park. He's maybe not as much of a turnover specialist, but with Watson, Matt Ferguson is good over the ball, and McAnally pretty good over the ball as well. I don't think you lose that much. And I've always said it before, I think that he's just such a quality player, and I think that he should be able to rise to the challenge again, and hopefully we won't actually miss Richie too much with him in his place.
My heart said Darge. There's a part of me that wanted Roy Darge, but I appreciate the argument that he's not got the line-out experience, and there is value in having those four line-out jumpers, especially given that Richie took, I think, four line-outs at the weekend. But there was a little part of me that wanted to see Watson and Darge almost act like a bit of a Hooper, Pocock sort of combo, and really sort of take Wales on at the breakdown.
Well, we might get to see that later on in the match with Rui Darge named on the bench, and we'll come back to talk a little bit about him later on. Moving into the back line and other changes, Sione Tuipulotu preferred at 12. Sam Johnson sent back to Glasgow for their game against Munster. Cam Redpath named on the bench. I mean, Alan, we've been, you know, been giving Sione some sort of high praise since he came over to Scotland. He's been playing great for Glasgow. Are you happy with that selection, or would you have sort of either stuck with Johnson or sort of rolled the dice on Cam Redpath?
It's an interesting one, because I think ultimately it wouldn't have mattered, as we said, if Tuipulotu had been in the 12 journey for that England game. I fundamentally don't think that it would have made any difference, just given both the quantity and quality of ball that Johnson received. But I guess Tuipulotu, you know, especially against the Ospreys, was incredibly strong, and obviously Tooney's referenced that he's been strong in training, etc. So I wonder whether they just see his sort of slightly more destructive ball carrying being a bigger asset against that Welsh back line and that centre pairing now of Tompkins and Watkins than they did against England.
I think as well, as if you've made that decision and you've got Johnson in the wings, he can only really play 12. So if you've got Redpath, who's, you know, 90% of the way to full fitness, he does offer you a few more options from the bench. So I kind of thought it was a little bit harsh to see Johnson turning out for Glasgow at the weekend, but I can kind of see the rationale behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Rest of the back line remains unchanged. I mean, we've sort of rattled through that a little bit because there wasn't actually, you know, significant changes, but a lot of chat about the bench sort of kicking off. So it's obviously last week's starting front row, George Turner, Rory Sutherland and Xander Ferguson's all on there. Magnus Bradbury, Rory Darge, and then King, Ben White, Blair Kinghorn and Cam Redpath sort of rounding out the 23. I mean, I think the impact of that front row is quite well stated. I mean, what can we expect from Bradbury? And I mean, Matt, how would you use Bradbury and Darge off the bench?
Well, I think that if you look at the Welsh back row, I think it's quite big that they've decided not to play Wainwright, and I think that Ellis Jenkins must be injured, because I think that just very much changes the dynamic of that back row, which previously was kind of three sevens, and I think we. Maybe with Skinner coming in and Richie going out, you'd have some concerns around the breakdown. But I think bringing on Darge, if the likes of Basham or this new guy Morgan are having a bit of more joy at the breakdown than we thought, And just, I think, using Bradbury in the same role, similar role as the England game, just bringing him on as, I think, a heft in the pack overall at scrum time. And then just in that kind of battering ram role. And I'd like to see him having a run at that Welsh midfield, as I'm sure Ferguson will have done before in the match. And yeah, I think you just sort of let wind up Darge and let him go, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Wales have named that team quite a few changes after getting their pants pulled down by Ireland. I mean, Alan, side by side, got to say Scotland's stronger on paper. Where do you think Scotland can sort of get the upper hand on Wales?
I think they've got opportunities broadly everywhere. I think, I actually think in the front row, I think relatively even as scrum time and both kind of front rows potentially aren't the most dynamic in world rugby, especially when you compare it to, you know, something like Ireland's or the Scotland pack that started last week. Feels like in the second row, like Rowlands and Beard, I don't think Gray and Gilchrist are going to sort of worry about that too much. Potentially we've got a little bit of a, and should potentially have a bit more in the sort of tight spaces. Back row, obviously, I don't know much about this Jack Morgan character. So if I'm honest, he's sort of...
What did our Welsh correspondent say in the WhatsApp group about him?
Makes a lot of tackles. It's his first cap. It's his first cap, right?
Yeah.
First cap playing for the Ospreys. I mean, that could mean nothing. It could be the Ospreys' best player, but it's not the same as a Tipperick or even an Alice Jenkins, even an Aaron Wainwright, I don't think.
Most tackles in the URC and most dominant tackles in the URC this year. However, what I would say is he was opposite Rory Darge in that Ospreys Glasgow game, where both Glasgow and Darge, I think, massively dominated the breakdown. So interesting that both obviously him and Ferguson have been in sort of a back row battle against him quite recently and have definitely sort of come out on top. But no, Ross Moriarty, never really know, could genuinely murder. Ross Moriarty, what's his name?
Of Sherlock Holmes' famous nemesis, Moriarty.
What is his name?
Moriarty.
Oh, well, it's like this. It's broadly the same thing, right? which I think our Welsh correspondent said he's got 50% chance of getting red carded. So I think when you look at that pack in totality, I think this has to be in the last kind of 10, 15 years that we've been sort of watching Scotland-Wales game. I would say the biggest delta between Scotland and Wales, and I'm saying Scotland being significantly better than Wales, both in terms of starting and forward replacements.
Nah, we've got to win, right? When, if not now, when?
That's the thing. When I saw that Welsh team and I saw that Alex Cuthbert is back in, I thought, if we can't beat a team with Alex Cuthbert, then maybe we should play in that like Nations Cup that Romania and Georgia play in. I think on paper our team is far better. We've got momentum. We've got the big game players. We don't have any injuries. I said it before, you know, all the signs are pointing to a Scotland win, but I wouldn't take anything for granted. Wales are a different team at home and they'll be really, really fired up. But we've got to win. Someone on Twitter has just posted something quite interesting about the last time we were at Cardiff and the front rows that Scotland had in place and how different they are. So we had starting John Welsh, Gordie Reid and Rambo.
Yikes.
And our bench was Scott Lawson, Jamie Batty and Murray McCallum.
So this one's better, yeah?
Just a bit. Just a little bit.
That's no disrespect to any of those names, but we have moved on somewhat, right?
Just want to say that I've had a very short vision there of Cuthbert scoring a hat-trick and there being like a supercut put together afterwards of just like Matt's voiceover there talking about how if we lose to Cuthbert, we deserve to be in the Nations Championship. And then just videos of Cuthbert just sort of cutting the line hard, just in between Harris and Tuipulotu to score their sort of fifth try and make a sort of similar to the sort of 31-7 match from 2018. I feel very confident, but at the same time, history tells us that we probably will win this match.
History tells us that sadness is closer than it appears.
But then if you look back at those old games that we, you know, lost comfortably, the Welsh team was entirely different. Like back in 2018, they had Halfpenny, Adams, Navidi, Wynne Jones, Ken Owens, Tipperidge even was on the bench. Like that is just, it's such a different team.
One thing just to consider is they're not allowed to close the roof, so the roof will be open on Saturday. And it's going to be dry up until, at the moment, it looks like 2 o'clock, where the rain will basically pelt down for about 3 hours, and then it'll be dry for the rest of the day. So the view is that probably when it gets to kick off, at the moment anyway, it's going to be pissing down.
Why?
Which I can't work out who that benefits. Potentially no one, really. But I don't think there's a clear sort of, oh, those conditions will suit this team. I think actually, given the Welsh pack and potentially sort of the size of the Welsh backs, I don't think they're going to be particularly happy about the rain coming down as well.
No, I think you're right that if you look at that Welsh backline, it's guys who probably want to play with the ball in hand. And there's not really a big crash ball runner in there. Like I say, even like Tuipulotu is probably a bigger carrier than most of their outside backs, really.
Yeah, for sure.
And Alan, that's going to impact us directly. Although, from what you've told me, our seats are so far in the gods that we will definitely be covered.
Yeah, we don't need the roof to be closed to stay dry. Don't you worry. we'll be absolutely fine. It'll be...
I can't wait. It's going to be such a fun day out. And if Scotland win, my God.
Yeah. No, it'll be fantastic. And in terms of the bookies, what do you think the current spread is on Betfair?
Last time I looked, Scotland were 2-point favourites.
They've shifted to, well, on Betfair, they've shifted to 3.
So, ugh. That's... I don't like this. Because last week we were Eddie Jones's sort of red-hot favourites, but actually the bookies still had England. This week we're red-hot favourites and the bookies are backing that. That feels like a tempting fate to me.
Yeah, especially away from home.
Yeah. But I mean, it does tell you an awful lot about the progress of Scottish rugby that to be favourites going away to Wales at the Millennium Stadium where we haven't won for a decade is we've made progress. So last things to do are our predictions with a match point predictor, which we'll come to in just a second. But just a final reminder that if you are in Glasgow this Friday night, there's still a handful of tickets left for their big game against Munster. They are available on the Glasgow Warriors website. Get yourself on there and get yourself down to Scotstoun. What a great way to start off the weekend. As we've already touched upon, plenty of Scotland internationals have been released. So you can see Scott Cummings, Sam Johnson, a very strong Glasgow team welcoming Munster. So get yourself onto the Glasgow website. But Matt, coming to you first, I think, on the Guinness Match Pint Predictor, download the app and join our league. That's Thistle on the Match Pint app. Let's start with Scotland-Wales, and we'll talk about the other games as well. But Matt, what are you predicting?
Yeah, I did the predictions just before our discussion and finding out that the bookies only had us favourites by 3. But I've gone Scotland by 9.
Yes, love it.
I genuinely do think this. We've got the momentum. We're in a good place. Our players are on form, and I think we have a better side. It's not going to be easy, but
that bit of audio is going to be super cut over those like dancing funeral people.
Yeah, we might have to make the video ourselves.
We might have to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Matt, Alan, are you going to add anything to the Super Cup?
I'm going to hold out until it gets a little bit clearer on the weather, but I think if the rain holds off, Scotland by 10, and if the rain comes in, Scotland by 3.
Okay, that's nice. Nice giving yourself a little bit of a get out there. I am Scotland by 12 currently, locked in, hoping not to touch that. Yeah, I just, maybe it's just I want it to happen so much, but I just think we might pump them. I just think we might. It's really exciting to be there. I'm happy to be wrong and over-egg that particular pudding as long as we win. But I think Scotland by 12 feels quite nice. How are you guys looking at the other games? Obviously, Johnny Sexton's been ruled out for Ireland in the big one against France. Matt, who are you backing in that one?
France by 7.
France by 7. Alan?
So I think even without Sexton and Joey Carberry in, I think the Irish pack is going to be too good for France. And so I think it's going to be Ireland by 5.
Lovely. And then how much are Italy beating England by? Come on.
How good would that be?
Oh, can you imagine, so though? I genuinely love it. Eddie Jones, do you think Eddie Jones would have to resign?
No.
I don't think he would resign, but he might. We might have to get the sack at that point.
It'd be great for him to get. I would just love it for, like, I love reading the Sunday newspapers during the Six Nations anyway, but imagine just like a column after column dedicated to why England are terrible. It'd be great. Yeah. Do love a big inquiry. It's like all the inquiry pieces after the Ashes. But anyway, we digress. Matt, England versus Italy? England by?
England by 25.
Yeah, feels about right, doesn't it, Alan?
Which is quite boring.
England by 38.
England by 38.
I think England are going to come out punchy.
Yeah, it's a shame. I really like Italy's kit, by the way. I think Macron have delivered a banger for Italy.
Actually, the Scotland kit is looking nice.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, early stages of the kit, I'm enjoying it. I think the Ireland one's poor.
It's funny what stuff people remember. Ashley turned to me at the rugby and she was like, oh, they've changed the shorts so it doesn't look like they've shat themselves anymore.
A little yellow short.
Yeah.
That's just classic Kiwis laughing at Scots. Alan, you need to pick that up with her.
I'm always laughing at Kiwis, to be fair.
So. Yeah, quite right too. Well, thanks very much, guys. And thank you all, listeners, for joining us. It's been 2 pod week, kicking off the excitement for the weekend. Keep following us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Alan and I will let you know where we're drinking beforehand, so you can come and buy us pints, which would be nice. And on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and sign up for the newsletter, which will be coming out on Monday morning. Until then, here comes the Grand Slam. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.